Good morning. Welcome to the meeting of the Research and Innovation Legal and Legislative Affairs Committee. The meeting is called to order. Crystal, would you please call the roll?
Committee Vice Chair Athes?
Here.
Trustee Dennis Barsima?
Here.
Trustee John Butler?
Here.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Here.
Trustee Tim Moore? Trustee Bob Pritchard? Board Chair Eric Watsowitz?
Here.
Committee Chair Veronica Herrero.
This meeting is being conducted in person and through video conferencing communications pursuant to Public Act 101-0640, enacted June 12, 2020, and Section 7E of the Illinois Open Meetings Act, allowing for virtual board meetings during a disaster declaration relating to public health concerns. As Chair of the Board, I have determined that an in-person meeting is not practical or prudent because of the disaster. As such, trustees may attend today's meeting by audio and visual conferencing and not by physical presence. Mr. Perry, would you please confirm that the appropriate notice of this meeting has been provided and that we have a quorum present?
Good morning, Madam Chair. You have a quorum present. An appropriate notice has been provided pursuant to the Illinois Open Meetings Act.
Thank you, Mr. Perry. May I have a motion to approve the agenda of this meeting as proposed?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? Crystal, could you please call the roll?
Committee Vice Chair Athes?
Yes.
Trustee Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Tim Moore? Trustee Bob Pritchard? Board Chair Eric Watsowitz?
Yes.
Committee Chair Veronica Herrero.
The motion is approved. I would want to welcome any university advisory committee representatives present today. Do you have any comments?
Good morning. We have no comment. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a few comments about today's meeting. First of all, we would note that Dr. Anna Quiter has departed NIU to establish her own consulting firm, by which all accounts is doing well. And we wish her very well for the service and dedication that she has given to NIU, and I know Dr. Blasey will have a few additional comments to make about that. I am also very excited about our faculty presentation today, as it reflects our deep commitment to our mission. I'm really interested to hear about this. Project Flex engages incarcerated young men and women in the positive sports program that teach life skills and healthy fitness behavior for life after prison. As Dr. Blasey will discuss, we'll also see from the 2021 NSF Higher Education Research and Development Survey that NIU has maintained a high statewide program profile of many of the STEM fields. This supports our mission by offering opportunities to all our students. This success continues with second quarter sponsoring funding totals of $28 million, running 28% ahead of last year. And again, Dr. Blasey will make some additional comments on that in his. Our prospects look bright, and I'm pleased to see that the newly established Office of Research Development starts operation this year, and again, we'll hear about that in just a few minutes. I would also like to go back on the agenda because we had a motion to approve and second the minutes, but there wasn't a roll call, right?
There was not, nor discussion.
You can't, no. Crystal, could we have a roll call, please?
There was actually not a motion made for...
Okay.
There was a motion made for the agenda, but not for the minutes.
May I have a motion to approve the minutes of November 10th, 2022?
So moved.
I'll second the motion.
Is there any discussion?
Yes, there is. Okay. Trustee Gales, it indicates that I wasn't here at that meeting last meeting, and I was.
Can I just add that was also the case with the last minutes? I'm okay because there's a record of me voting in the meeting, but maybe we can think about how to amend the top of the agenda when someone comes into the meeting, just because there may be a time when someone looks at these records and thinks that they are the definitive record of who was here and not here, and doesn't go deeper in to see that, that people came and voted on matters.
Actually, I thought it was, I thought you were here, but it was you, John,
yeah,
that was here. So, okay, I'm sorry. I was looking, and it was somebody over there. So,
yeah, yeah. I wasn't here.
Okay.
So can we have a motion to approve the minutes as amended with those two comments?
So moved. I guess I accept the friendly amendment.
Yeah, we're moving to approve the minutes subject to those amendments.
Yes, I move to approve the minutes subject to the amendment discussed.
And I will second that. Gales.
And Crystal, will you please call the roll?
Committee Vice Chair Athas?
Yes.
Trustee Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Tim Moore? Trustee Bob Pritchard? Board Chair Eric Watsowitz?
Yes.
Committee Chair Veronica Herrero?
The minutes are approved. Public comment. We recognize members of the public who have complied with state law and Board of Trustees bylaws by registering their written request to address the board with our parliamentarian, Mr. Perry. Have you received any timely request to address this meeting?
Madam Chair, we have no public comment this morning.
Thank you. And at this point, I would like to ask Vice President for Research and Innovation Partnerships, Dr. Jerry Blasey, for news items and comments.
Thank you, Chair Athas, and good morning to the board. I will begin with the federal report this morning as I'm standing in for since Dr. Quire's left. Her last day was January 3rd, and as Chair Athas mentioned, she's now successfully self-employed as the principal of her new consulting firm, the Quire Group. I know for a fact that she has more business than she can handle. And I'm also pleased to state that she's continuing her advocacy in nationwide for equity research. And she and I are collaborating on a couple opinion op-eds that we will see published in the next few weeks, I hope. Clearly, I can't meet her level of enthusiasm and comprehensive reporting on the federal agenda, but I'll do my best. The search for the new director of federal relations has completed phone interviews, and three candidates will be invited to NIU for in-person interviews. Organizationally, the Director of Federal Relations will be in the President's office reporting to Dr. Streb. Last month, we had two visits from the Illinois delegation. Congresswoman Lauren Underwood visited SEAT Friday, January 20th, to celebrate congressionally directed funding of $1.5 million to SEAT, in particular for the Microelectronics Research and Development Lab. This funding was also sponsored by Senator Durbin, and they were both very pleased to support microelectronics. It's completely consistent with the CHIPS Plus Science Act that was passed last year. The absolute highlight was the handoff of one of those giant $1.5 million checks by the Congresswoman to President Freeman. Then the very next day, Saturday the 21st, Senator Duckworth visited NIU. We discussed a wide range of topics, international students and visas, the Health Technology Center and NICS, the feasibility study of extension of train service to DeKalb, support for the Center for Southeast Asia Studies, the Senator's upcoming trip to Southeast Asia, financial aid, student mental health, veteran affairs, and research equity. As you can see, the Senator has great interest in the success of NIU and is a great champion for the university. With respect to Southeast Asia, as an outcome of the meeting, she will be briefed this morning by a set of our faculty for her upcoming trip to the region. And if one or two of us duck out, that might be where we're going to participate in that briefing. So our current federal efforts are focused on the next round of congressionally directed funding. We're already in conversation with staff from Representative Underwood's office and the offices of Senator Durbin and Senator Duckworth. So now a quick update on NICS. Unfortunately, there has been a delay at the Capital Development Board due to a project manager transition. They've had some personnel turnover in the office. However, this seems to be resolved, and we just heard Tuesday contract negotiations with a selected design consultant will begin now that they have a program manager in place. Internally, we're moving forward with a search for the director of NICS. The position is now posted, and the search committee, chaired by Dr. Streb, has been assembled. Moving to our national research profile, as Chair Athes mentioned, the National Science Foundation Higher Education R&D Survey for 2021 was recently released. The annual survey collects information on research expenditures at universities across the country and is a widely regarded measure of research productivity and reputation. With $25 million in expenditures, NIU was ranked 254th nationally out of just over 900 institutions receiving federal funding. That's very close to the top quartile of universities in the country. Our state profile is very strong. Out of the state institutions, we rank fourth behind UIUC, UIC, and SIU. I'll note that all of them have medical schools and very large programs associated with them. In contrast, we are especially strong in the STEM fields, ranking third in the state in physics, psychology, geosciences, chemistry, computer science, and engineering. And much of our S&E expenditures derives from sponsored funding, which I am happy to report continues to grow as well. As the chair mentioned, through the second quarter of FY23, NIU has received a total of 190 sponsored awards, totaling $27.8 million, up 28% relative to last year. What's more, there are $15 million in contracts to be executed and wouldn't be counted in the second quarter sums, which would bring the total up to $43 million, matching last year's end-year non-COVID funding, and we have 20 weeks to go. So we're just doing fantastic. And the credit really does go to the faculty and staff. You heard the passion and dedication earlier this morning in Dr. Jones's presentation, and we'll see shortly in our second faculty presentation this morning. But I would be remiss if I didn't thank sponsored programs for capably handling the increased volume and complexity. And I'd like to take a moment just to please congratulate Associate Vice President for Research and Sponsored Programs, Dara Little. She's managed to keep up with the demand and up with the complexity, and we owe her a vote of thanks. So maybe a moment of applause. And I think she's online masquerading as me. So there she is.
There you go.
Thank you, Dara. She's off somewhere dealing with complexity, so we'll leave it at that. There are reasons to expect continued growth. As the chair mentioned, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. First, I'd like to announce an additional hire in the Office of Innovation. Federico Bassetti will be joining as Assistant Director for Innovation Ecosystem Development. Trustees Barsima and Wasowicz might remember this has been a long campaign to build up university innovation across campus, and now I think we've built out the staff to continue that effort. You might recall the CHIPS Plus Science Act has provisions for merging research institutions like NIU, and the agencies have already released solicitations for such institutions. In particular, DOE has a program called FAIR, which stands for Funding for Accelerated Inclusive Research. And FAIR seeks applications from institutions historically underrepresented in the Department of Energy portfolio, including minority-serving institutions and emerging research institutions, to perform basic research in fields supported by DOE. And our faculty have responded with 6 letters of intent to the FAIR program. And I find this personally gratifying. We leveled the playing field for emerging research institutions, and our faculty have personally followed through. So awesome. It's working, and I hope we'll see increased grant activity because of that as well. There are similar programs for NSF and the National Science Foundation and the Department of Defense. And to encourage further development of the research portfolio, I'm pleased to re-announce the Office of Research Development, or ORD, which is kind of a nice acronym for our location, has started ramping up operations. Establishing Office of Research Development is a component of University Goal Number 3, Academic Excellence and Curricular Innovation, which states an enterprise office will expand NIU resources available to facilitate and support transdisciplinary research, scholarship, artistry, and engagement, and will facilitate cross-university and multi-institutional awards and proposals. So that office is intended to do just that. We're just starting operations, and it'll be several months to roll it out entirely. Kelly Dislin has been appointed director of the office and is working hard on that rollout. So there's a lot of reasons to expect continued growth in our sponsored program portfolio. And that concludes my update, and I'd be happy to take any questions.
Are there any questions? That was an extremely positive report, so appreciate that. Are there any specific questions for Dr. Blaze and any of that information that was shared?
Jerry, how do we keep this rolling?
I think offices are well staffed. We've got all the components that you need to support a research portfolio or sponsored funding portfolio, especially with the establishment of the Office of Research Development. And I think that it just will naturally keep going. The next leadership of Division of RIPS has all the components they need to make this, to continue the momentum.
Okay, I'm just jealous you're going to be a better skier than I am at this time next year. So that's why I'm asking that question. So I want to know how this is going to continue. Yeah. I mean, your skiing is fine. And I'm okay with that, but I just want to make sure this keeps going.
Trustee Waswich, I'll let you get down the hill first every time.
Can I add something to you?
Sure.
You know, I think we'll have many more opportunities to celebrate Dr. Blasey before he goes off into a very well-deserved retirement. But I just want to echo the point that he makes. Universities have transitions in leadership. Sometimes it's because of retirement. Sometimes it's because the people that you've mentored and coached and developed have amazing opportunities that they can't turn down. And when we talk about succession planning, very often we talk about, you know, is there someone else who's designated, you know, kind of the way we do with the mission mascot program. Is there a mission 3 to replace mission 2? But a very important part of succession planning is making sure that the opportunity is attractive. The division is well staffed with talented people. The national reputation of the university in that area is one that's attractive. The philosophy of our mission, vision, and values invites people who want to join our team. And I think Dr. Blasey has done an amazing job with the Division of Research and Innovation Partnerships in creating that. And that gives, I think, everyone in leadership a lot of confidence that the momentum won't be lost, even though he will be horribly missed.
Thank you, President Freeman.
You know, I also wanted to comment when I looked through this, how much of what we're doing aligns so much with the goals that we all established, for this year. For example, I'm so pleased to see ORD up. We've talked about that, and the fact that it's cross-disciplinary is one of the things that we always emphasize. So when I look through this report, I keep going back to those goals and see how that's really permeating everything that's being done. So thank you for that. Any other questions, comments? If not, we will move to the university reports. Agenda item 7A is sponsored programs administrative quarterly report. Dr. Blasey has already offered a few comments on the report, but are there any other questions or discussions on it? Sure.
Yeah, I would like to make a comment. We're required to list all the grants that were awarded in the each quarter in the report, and I always urge you to scan through those because it gives you a sense of what's going on and the fine scholarship that our faculty and staff are pursuing. So take a minute if you have time just to scan through those.
Definitely. We'll now move to agenda item 7B, our state legislative report, which will be given today verbally by Dr. Streb. And it's going to be a good news report, too.
Thank you, Chair Athus. Yeah, I think it will. Katie Davison sends her regrets. She's actually attending a hearing right now on behalf of NIU and so isn't able to give this report. But I'll get right to the big news. Obviously, I think most of you know that the governor gave his budget address yesterday. We had a lot of anticipation about what he would say, specifically regarding higher education. And I'd say that we were very, very happy with his budget address and grateful for his commitment to higher education. The big news is that he proposed a 7% increase to our operating budget, to our state appropriations, I should say. If that is passed, it would be the largest increase in more than two decades. To give you a sense, right now we get about $92.2 million from the state. If the governor's budget proposal is passed, we'd be at about $98.5 million. There's an item that you, the trustees, are aware of that you'll be voting on later this morning related to tuition. I think you know that we were planning to propose a flat tuition regardless of what the governor proposed yesterday, but the governor's budget certainly made us feel more comfortable in making that recommendation to you this morning. There's a lot of other good information in there as well. $100 million more in MAP funding on top of several years of increases already. The average MAP recipient will get about $5,000. The maximum award is going to increase to about $8,500. We did a very quick back-of-the-envelope estimate, and we estimate that with that $100 million increase in MAP funding, our students will see about another $5 million because of that proposal. AIM High was put forward as being maintained. That's been such a huge help to us. It helps us with our Husky Pledge program, so we're very happy about that. And a bunch of other little things as well. I shouldn't say little things, but maybe not things that we focus on quite as much, such as, you know, continuing to fully fund the Early Childhood Access Consortium for Equity. So a very positive speech for higher education, but I will say, as happy as I was to hear the governor talk about higher education, it was by far not my favorite part of his speech. I wanted to read you how he closed his speech yesterday. And with apologies to Governor Pritzker, I don't read very well out loud, but I want to make sure that you see how he chose to close his budget address. I want to conclude today with sharing a story of someone who exemplifies the tenacity of our people here in the Prairie State. In 1951, at the age of 18, Joyce DeFaw arrived on Northern Illinois University's campus to pursue a degree in economics. But life had other plans. She met her husband, Don Freeman Sr., and left NIU to raise a family. 7 decades later, 9 children, and dozens of grandchildren and great-grandchildren later, Joyce decided she could focus on herself again, and she re-enrolled in college to finish her degree. Once again, life had other plans, a once-in-a-generation pandemic. But that didn't deter her. She finished her classes on a laptop given to her as a gift, and just 2 months ago, at age 90, Joyce walked across the stage to receive her Bachelor of General Studies, becoming the oldest person in history to graduate from NIU. Joyce's story is a classic Illinois tale. We are a stubborn people. We persevere no matter the challenge. We welcome opportunity for improvement. And when we rise together. And I can tell you that when we heard that, yep, absolutely. That right there was the best part to me of the governor's address. So thank you, Governor Pritzker, for your support of higher education and for mentioning Joyce in such a positive way. A couple other things I would say. We're getting ready for it's appropriations hearing time, President's favorite time of the year. We're heading down March 2nd to have our House appropriations hearing. Our Senate appropriations hearing has not been scheduled yet. We are obviously in the middle of session. As I said, Katie's down there for a hearing right now. It's always a very active time. There are literally several hundred bills that we're tracking right now following that have an impact on higher education. So a lot of activity going on. The other thing that I wanted to make the trustees aware of, we're very excited about March 21st will be NIU Advocacy Day in Springfield. We've got a bus full of students going down, in addition to alumni and faculty and administrators and a variety of other people. I know a couple of you will be down there with us as well. So we're super excited to get to tell NIU's story in Springfield. So all in all, I think, as Chair Athas said, I think a positive report. And I will stop there and answer any questions.
Are there any questions for Matt? Trustee Butler?
I know these things are not always easy to predict, but is there a general time frame that you anticipate us knowing whether this proposed allocation and all the others that you talked about have been finalized?
Great question, Trustee. But so first of all, I will say it helps when the governor is of one party and the legislature is controlled by the same party, because the legislature looks to the governor, obviously, for a lot of guidance there. I'm not to say that the legislature will do exactly what the governor says. But if you looked at the comments publicly made yesterday by the Democratic leaders, they were very, very supportive of Governor Pritzker's budget. And even several Republicans that I talked to were positive about aspects of his budget, specifically related to higher education. The legislature normally ends, as you know, at the end of May, and usually the budget is put off to the last minute, and it kind of miraculously appears, and they vote on it. There's a little bit more of an aggressive timeline this year. They actually are going to hope to adjourn, in middle of May. But, you know, budget appropriations hearings start essentially now after the governor's budget. So we have an opportunity to go down to make our case to the state legislature so they can hear about the wonderful things that NIU is doing. My guess is we'll know more around mid-May.
Thank you.
The other comment I wanted to make was that while obviously our focus is on higher education, and it should be, I think the funding for preschool and K through 12, that's our pipeline.
Yep.
And so I think it's probably just as important to make sure that those students are being prepared to come to NIU. And again, it's the emphasis on, I saw in the speech, the comments about us losing students to other states. Mm-hmm. And 70% of the students, if they go to college in other states, stay there. That's a travesty, and it's terrible for our economic development. So I think you have to look at the whole picture, and I was pleased. Obviously, most pleased by higher education, but pleased to see the whole funnel that was happening there on education. Any other questions for Dr. Strub?
No, I just want to join Matt in commending the governor, this pro-education governor that we have, of his commitment to education and higher education, as well as Smart Start, as he's talking about with the preschoolers.
Thank you, Trustee Montell. And again, as many of us, I think, as can go down for Advocacy Day would be a help. So if you can put that on your calendars, I think that would be great. Okay, we are going to move to our faculty presentation, which we're all very anxious to hear about. And so I would invite Dr. Zachary Well Alexander and Gabrielle Bennett to the podium for the presentation.
All right, good morning. My name is Zachary Well. I'm an associate professor in the Kinesiology and Physical Education Department. I've been at NIU for the last 8 years. I did my undergraduate work from the University of Georgia, and then I did all my graduate school at the University of Alabama.
Hi, my name is Gabrielle Bennett. I am a PhD student in the Kinesiology Department. I did my undergraduate degree at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, where I ran track and field. I heard we have some track and field phenoms in the house, so I'm excited to talk to you after. And then I did my master's degree at Cal State Fullerton.
And before we get started, Gabby and I are just really appreciative of this opportunity to speak to everyone today about reimagining the power of sport for youth in the juvenile justice system. You can go to the next slide, please. So we're going to give you, just before we get started, a quick 30,000-foot view of our presentation today. We're going to talk through the incarceration problem that we have in the state of Illinois and all the societal costs that go along with that. We're going to talk through Project Flex, who we are, what we do, our impact, and our growth potential. Next slide.
So the following statistics are a bit discouraging. The United States currently leads all industrialized nations in the number of individuals that we incarcerate. Around 85% of those individuals are youth of color. Youth of color are 5 times more likely to be tried and arrested than their white counterparts. Additionally, over the span of 30 years, we've seen an increase in the number of female youths that have been incarcerated. And just to give you a glimpse of how much it costs to incarcerate one youth per year is approximately $180,000. And here's what $180,000 gets the youth. Seclusion in their rooms, similar to the photo you see here. They're also living a sedentary lifestyle, so they're currently only receiving around 1/3 of the CDC's recommended physical activity engagement levels. They're receiving subpar nutrition, often consuming minimal fruits and vegetables, which in turn leads to them consuming high-carb diets, leading to excessive weight gain. Their education is currently fully online and is youth-directed with minimal content support. In terms of their recreation, they may not be getting time in a day for physical activity, as well as the facilities are significantly understaffed, leaving minimal relationship development between the administration and the youth.
So it costs, to incarcerate one youth for an entire year, it costs just over $187,000, but yet 93% of youth are returning back to prison within 5 years. So putting this another way, we are spending almost $180,000 for a 7% success rate. Regardless of how we're cutting it, this is just not effective.
So who is Project Flex, also known as Big Flexers? We leverage the power of sport to unite individuals and develop a culture of opportunity for incarcerated youth.
So before we continue, we want to try a little mental exercise with everyone. If everyone can please close your eyes, what we want you to think about are an experience when you are part of a team. So this could be part of a sports team. For those of you that didn't participate in sport, this could be part of a business or a leadership team. What we want you to think about are your favorite memories and moments about being a part of that team. Okay, you can open your eyes. Typically, if we were to ask what these favorite memories and moments would be, some typical responses might be relationships that are formed on the team, maybe extreme laugh sessions during times of a lot of work and high stress, overcoming adversity, and just the relationships and the climate that's created within that team. When you ask people what those favorite moments about being a part of your team is, it's typically just those little experiences. And that's what Project Flex is. Yes, we are about sport, but not everything we do is rooted in sport. Project Flex is about developing relationships, it's about providing consistency, and it's about creating a positive atmosphere and providing those special little moments for the youth we work with. Next slide. So Project Flex programming takes place in a wide variety of settings, both within the facility, within the community, and at NIU as well. Our graduate students provide a wide assortment of different sport-specific group programming, like flag football, soccer, boxing, and even pickleball, as you see here. We also do one-on-one mentorship each week, and we have an educational leadership experience where youth actually come to NIU's campus and live a day in the life of one of our NIU Huskies. That educational leadership retreat looks like coming to campus, attending college classes, meeting different student organizations, going to New Hall to have a meal, and probably my personal favorite, bowling at the Home Student Center. So in addition to that, kind of across all of our programs, one of our main priorities is instilling life skills and providing just that safe climate within our program. In addition to that, I think it's really important to note in a recent systematic research study, Project Flex was identified as the only sport and education partnership between a university and a prison across the entire United States.
And I know you're probably wondering, how is Project Flex run? So it's run with the help of us, the graduate students. Project Flex has fully funded 14 graduate students from underrepresented classes to pursue their master's degrees and one PhD student myself. Over the span of 5 years, our programming has impacted hundreds of youth ages 13 to 20. We've also been transdisciplinary in our approach, involving campus partners like NIU Police, the Center for Black Studies, and the music program.
Project Flex was founded in 2018 by myself and Dr. Jacobs, who is not here with us today. We started by obtaining a small seed grant through the College of Education, which allowed us to fully fund one full-time graduate student, and that started our journey at the St. Charles Youth Detention Center. Since that time, we've been able to transition into three different facilities, two of them being all male, one of them is co-ed, and we're able to secure a $180,000 annual contract with the state. It is important to note that that's a little bit over half of our operating budget for a given year. Specific to research, we have published 14 peer-reviewed manuscripts. We've also presented over 22 times at both national and international conferences. What I am personally probably most proud of is we have student authorship on every single one of those presentations and on every single one of those publications as well. We were also, Project Flex was recently asked to write a chapter in a criminal justice and sport textbook, which is an international text. We were the only United States representative in this entire text.
We're proud to align with NIU's institutional goals and that we've been transdisciplinary and innovative in our research efforts, seeking to address inequitable conditions in society. We've also been intentional in our recruitment strategies, specifically recruiting in-state students, out-of-state students like myself, and of course, we can't forget our NIU Huskies. I want to take a moment to share the impact that Project Flex has had on our graduate students. Isaiah, also known as the Webster, shared, "Project Flex has brought unconditional growth to my life and the youth we serve. This is the first time that I felt 100% valued and supported." Javon shared, "My life was leading me down a bad path, but when I made the choice to work with Flex, everything changed. Now I'm working towards my PhD at the University of Georgia. Similar to my colleagues, Project Flex has offered me the opportunity to serve the youth that come from similar communities as myself. It's also awarded me an opportunity to pursue my PhD, as I'm 1 year away from becoming the first doctor in my family." Thank you. Now for my favorite part of the presentation, how has Project Flex impacted the youth? I want to share a quote from a youth named Malcolm, who's actually like right across the street right now at our Project Flex panel that we're going to sprint to after this. He shared, "My coach is the brother type for real. I'm the little brother. We have real conversations. He motivates me to be better and see the bigger picture."
And then following one of our educational leadership retreats, Jackson said, "It's crazy that I had to go to prison to get an experience like this." We think it's really challenging to quantify the impact that Project Flex has had, both on the youth and on the graduate students that we work with. Currently, we are providing over 1,000 contact hours of programming each year. And since inception, we have fully funded over $300,000 tuition dollars for the graduate students that we work with. Next slide, please. But when asked to quantify the impact of Project Flex, for the youth that have gone through our highest level of programming, over 50% of them are out of prison. To go a little bit further, 4 of the 14 youth that are not incarcerated have either applied or currently attend NIU. So we don't think it's fully fair for us to compare our recidivism rate to the 5-year average in Illinois, but we do think it speaks to the effectiveness, but also the impact of Project Flex so far. Next slide. So where are we going? What's our future? We feel pretty confident that we know we want to become the premier university and sport prison partnership in the United States. We do feel we are going to get there, but there's a couple things that we can do to help expedite this. The first is by improving the quality of the programming that we're already offering, but also by providing some additional high-quality program that would supplement and augment what's currently being done. The second, by increasing the quantity. We have our sights set on expanding to all statewide facilities. We also have thoughts on replicating Project Flex in other states as well. So Regardless of the track that we go down, we feel quite comfortable that we're going to continue to increase the opportunities and the impact on the youth and the graduate students that we work with and continue to provide those special little moments when they become part of the Project Flex team. Next. We just want to, again, thank everyone for this opportunity. Thank you. We're very appreciative. We know that these types of opportunities don't come up very often. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was an amazing presentation. Can you tell me how this idea came about and how long the program has been developing?
Yeah, so to give you just a little more background, I did my PhD from the University of Alabama. In my last year of PhD work, I actually taught physical education at an all-female juvenile detention center, which is probably the most stressful thing that I've ever done, trying to juggle that and also doing a dissertation at the same time. And after that experience, I knew that I wanted to work with that population again. When I came to NIU, I met Dr. Jacobs, who again was not able to be with us today. We also have a student panel at the same time. So we have our community partners, we have currently incarcerated youth, and then a couple alumni of Project Flex in the Sky Room literally right now. So we met, and she was someone who's worked with a lot of youth in downtown Chicago. We knew we wanted to create some sort of a program. It took probably about maybe 15 or 20 lunch meetings to come up with the idea. But once we kind of had the idea, the state has been a great partner. I cold called the state, and within 2 weeks, we had a meeting and kind of a soft commitment for us to start programming.
That's incredible. And again, what was the timeline on that? As far as when did the program start here?
We started in August of 2018.
Okay, I am surprised this isn't taken all over other universities. I mean, it's a really enriched idea.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Are there questions for Dr. Wall or Gabrielle?
Are there any kids that would be deemed ineligible for this kind of program, i.e. too dangerous to be involved, etc.?
Yeah, so when we started, they have behavioral systems within the facilities. When we started in our first facility, it was they had to be basically on level A or level B. So essentially, they couldn't have had a violent crime within the last 2 weeks. So I'd say about 50% of the youth that we work with are in for Class X felonies. So a lot of them are in for murder. Since we've kind of expanded and got our footprint within the facilities, we're working with about 80 to 90% of the population within each of the facilities. So there's no restrictions now. The only restrictions are which youth can be in the same location at the same time.
Can you expound a little bit when they leave the prison, are they chaperone with an officer, or
that's a great question. So one of our great partnerships is with NIU police. So when they come to campus, so for example, like today, they'll come with our community partner, so security from the facility, and then there's a position called the leisure time activity specialist, which is kind of in charge of all their recreational programming. They'll come to campus. We also have an NIU police that is like an unmarked police officer that travels with us as well. But we've had, again, when we choose and select the youth that come on those leadership retreats, we take it extremely serious. So we do a 2 to 3 week orientation, which Gabby runs, 4 week, to prep them so they can maximize that experience. We can customize that opportunity to the youth. It's not just a college tour.
Mm-hmm. Just as a comment, I've worked with this kind of population that as a prosecutor, mm-hmm. right? Is there some sort of, you said prep, the 2 weeks. Is there a program or do you work with another agency to help get them acclimated to a kind of a different lifestyle?
Yeah, so we basically run a 4 week orientation in the facility, and it's myself running it, and at other facilities we'll have our site leaders run it. And so we ask them throughout the course of those 4 weeks, what are you looking forward to seeing at NIU? So it's really driven by the youth, and that's our philosophy. We believe that they should build it so they can have the best experience here at NIU. A lot of them, I'll give you an example, I did crew this past week, and they were like, can we just go swimming? Like, can you get a lifeguard and we just go hang out and go swimming? I'm like, yes, let me ask Dr. Wall, let's try to put this together. So some of them want to go swimming, they want to see the Husky on campus, they just want to hang out, find lady friends in the dining hall, all that fun stuff. So we try to build it around their interests. We also have them go, as you mentioned earlier, to the dining halls, come to a college class, So it's really their experience. We co-create it with them.
We will do role playing and mock, like, hey, you're going to meet Dr. Hal, our department chair. Like, that's my boss. So you're going to approach them and introduce yourself to them then differently than you might just a normal college student.
Yeah.
So we do walk them through that. We talk through, you know, what would happen if someone asks you, you know, like, why are you incarcerated or what's your background?
Yes.
And we really work through those scenarios so that they can optimize the comfort level that they have. Because if they're not comfortable being here, they're not going to get the most out of the experience, which is the main goal.
Fantastic program. Fantastic.
So they tend to self-select as far as you put something out at the facility saying, do you want to come and hear more about this? And then they come, and then through that, you determine who.
Yeah, so typically we have our like group settings, which is there'll be anywhere from 4 to 5 to 10 to 12 youth, what we call like a typical flex session. Mm-hmm. That's open for everybody, anyone that wants to kind of participate. And again, usually it's about 80 to 90% at this point of the facilities participate in that. We also, those leadership retreats and the one-on-one mentorship, mm-hmm. that is where certain youth might take to one of our graduate students, and then we'll spend time, and we'll actually develop programs around the youth. So we have one of our graduate students that's really into mindfulness and yoga and meditation. So we're actually doing that with youth that are interested in that. Like, we're not forcing youth to, hey, like, let's try this meditation, because it truly just does not work. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to customize the program around the youth and the youth's interests and what they want. Because that's where they're going to get the most benefit out of. For the college, like the readiness, where we actually bring the youth to campus, those are going to be the youth that provide like leadership and kind of take charge and take initiative, and also are on their way to getting either their GED or their high school diploma, or have expressed interest in going to college. So, and again, we do say that like NIU is an option for you, but we do try to say, like, you know, this isn't the only option. There's a lot of great schools, whether it's NIU, community colleges, junior colleges, like just having them step foot on a college campus, for about 80% of them, it's the first time stepping foot on a college campus. And just showing them that this is a feasible route for you goes a long way.
Can you talk a little bit about the follow-up? You know, once they're finished with this program, how do you keep in touch with them to see if they're on the right track? And
that's great. So our first year, we were not allowed the opportunity to follow up with the youth, but since we've become state partners, they have provided us with a little bit more leeway in terms of that follow-up. So, for example, two of the youth that are here talking at our student panel, I text with them all the time, we email back and forth. One of them is hopefully going to be enrolling in August, the other one has a job and is doing really, really well. That is one of our next steps, is once we get them here or once they leave and they get a job, they need additional support. The reason why I think 93% are winding back up in jail is because they're going back to the same environment that they were in and they don't have those supports in place. Full transparency, with our current funding structure, we just don't have the opportunity and the bandwidth to be able to support as much as we'd like to, but that's definitely one of the opportunities that we see is very ripe.
Great presentation. Congratulations on that. I love the association of our university goals into what you're doing. And that's one thing we've been trying to do as a board, is to keep the university goals at the forefront of everything that we're doing throughout the year. Kind of curious, have you heard of Edovo at all? They used to be called Jail Education. So it's more of a program for incarcerated people to be getting also trained through use of tablets and going mm-hmm. through education. Just a thought on that. Also, the Block Boxing Club in the city.
Yep.
Are you familiar with those guys at all?
We are.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, good. I've heard great things about them. And then meditation-wise, there's a technology called Muse.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a big meditation guy, and there's a headband that you wear. It would be really cool to get some of those work with the people on that, because it's real-time feedback that you have on that. And I'm sure they probably would donate to a program like this.
Yep.
So.
Absolutely. Some of our kind of the next steps that we have is we work so tirelessly on with the youth when they're in the program, but we want to provide them with skills so that once they leave, they're going to have more success. So one of the something that's in the works, like a little sneak peek for this room and I guess anyone else who's listening, is we're going to hopefully provide a leadership and educational experience where we're going to work through a personal training certificate program. So youth that are interested in getting their personal training certificate they would have the opportunity to study with us, our graduate students, to earn that certificate, and then we would be able to build resumes, cover letters, and help them job prep just prior to their release, so that once they get released, they have the opportunity to more hit the ground running. This is another one of more of like my dreams, but I've been doing some work in virtual reality, and one of the things that I would really like to see is we have the Metaverse NIU campus. So what I want to see is during those crew sessions, when we do that 4-week leadership retreat, I would like to see the youth have an opportunity to experience NIU's campus virtually prior to coming to campus, for them to just get more indoctrinated with what they're going to expect, because a lot of it is exposure, and the more realistic the exposure, the more beneficial the experience is going to be, but also the job prep of that as well. So
we got you covered on that, by the way.
Say it again.
I said, we have you covered on that.
I'm actually teaching a virtual class right now. So I've been...
Maybe it's your... Have you been exposed to the goggles and everything we're working on?
Yeah, our second semester. It takes me about 10 minutes, and sometimes I have to take them off so I don't get nauseous. But yeah, we've been working through it, and it's a great experience, and I think it's really beneficial, not just obviously for the NIU students, but I see a lot of benefit in the jail setting for our youth as well.
Yeah, and Beth, we're one of, 10 universities in the country, I think, that's doing this. So, yeah, cool. I'm glad to see you're doing that. That's great.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Trustee Butler.
So I'll sort of let you sort this out. I'll just make an observation. I'm interested in, this is very creative and innovative, and obviously from the reactions that you're receiving, I hope you know, we think this is great. I'm interested in your life as a faculty member and your future life as a faculty member. So you talked a little bit about what you teach and how it relates or would relate to the work you're doing, the things you're bringing into this project. Do you ever feel like there's a disconnect between what's expected of you as a faculty member and the work that you're doing here? And if you could sort of talk about how you navigate that territory.
Yeah, I think personally, so I have 2 kids under the age of 3. So for the parenthood thing, my life as a faculty member, and then what we call like our other baby, which is Project Flex, it's trying to juggle a lot of balls in the air. I am extremely passionate about this, and I think it's extremely beneficial, not just for our graduate students, but also for the youth that we work with. I've been very lucky because a lot of the knowledge and the content that I teach within my PE program, we're utilizing those same skills when I'm training our graduate students, or we're usually utilizing the same content with the youth within the facility. So I do think that there's quite a bit of overlap. In terms of the time in the day, if I had more time in the day, a lot of these different opportunities, we'd be able to, you know, maybe push through with them in a little bit more detail. But I do, my job as a faculty aligns very closely with what we're doing with Project Flex. Even though it might not seem like it, a lot of the skills and the strategies and the content overlap very seamlessly.
And you're obviously here, so you know that the institution supports the work that you're doing. Have you found that to be true throughout your time at NIU?
Yeah, I've worked in facilities for quite a bit. I've had a couple different experiences in a couple different facilities across different states. This is the state that has been the most receptive to ideas. I called the facility in Illinois, and within 2 weeks, we had a meeting with the superintendent, and he's like, yeah, cool, sounds good. Like, what else do you have? And same thing with the university. So Dr. McAvoy, who's out in the crowd, he was my chair when we pitched this idea, and he's like, don't get hurt, but I love it. And he was very supportive. Again, I think it's very unique what we're doing. Like we said a couple of times, like, we are the only university in the country that is integrating sport and education. There's only a certain amount of these types of programs across the country and across the world. We do feel very supportive, but again, with more money and more time would allow us to have more opportunities as well.
And Gabrielle, you're moving into this world. Are you going to be a professor? Is that your objective?
Yes.
And as you think about that objective, how do you feel? Do you worry that you're going to possibly be entering an academic environment where the kind of work you're doing here may not be fully translated as valuable work in other places, and that might be a challenge for you to sort of make that case?
I haven't considered it until you just said it, because I've been in this environment. And even with Dr. Rinal, I knew him previously. I did work with a similar organization in California where we work with formerly incarcerated youth and formerly incarcerated students to enroll them in school. So I had never considered that. But that does make me a little bit worried, because NIU has been...
But you could just stay here.
Right. Someone hire me. That would be great. Yes. Because our school is very receptive. Like, I'm able to include... I teach a sports psychology course, and one of the aspects of our course is life skills through sport. So I'm able to do life skill sessions and bring the youth from the facility to my classroom. And they feel so comfortable asking me questions and connecting with the kids in my class as well. So that does make me a little nervous, but
well,
thank you for
bringing. I don't want to make you nervous. I wanted to see whether you... I was just sort of interested in how you would answer that question, and I was, you know, really pleased with your answer. I do hope you stay here.
I hope so, too.
As do we, so you can keep making her nervous. If that...
Good.
Are there any other
Just
comments?
One more comment. I'm done for the day. I think this is a fantastic program. I think you need to take this on the road to raise some cash. I represent a business association. Much of this goes to the missions that many of those businesses have to uplift the community. They're looking for an outlet. I don't know if you've established some sort of foundation where they could give monies to this directly, but maybe you should consider that if not. And I will also extend an invitation for you to come into the city at one of our meetings so that you could talk about the program.
Yeah, thank you. We really appreciate that. I think to go back to some of the previous comments, it's all about the amount of time and expertise. And truly, sponsorship and marketing and publicity is definitely not our area of expertise, but we've gotten more and more comfortable with it. And as we've gotten more and more exposure, so that's definitely something that we're starting to understand, that to do the great work that we really want to do, it's going to cost more time and more money. So we're very open to those types of outlets as well, and we appreciate that.
So I'm going to channel my inner Dennis Barsima here. This is an ESG business. So it's something you might want to think about, and I'm sure Dennis would love to talk to you about how you could get that going. So, and I just have one final question. So why is it that Alabama keeps getting beat by Georgia in football?
So I'll tell you. So I did my undergrad at Georgia. Out-of-state tuition is not cheap, and my mom paid for all of it. So thanks. A little shout-out to my mom. I never thought I'd work that in. So when they played each other in the first national championship game, I called my mom and I said, you know, who are you rooting for? And seeing as that she basically paid for a building on campus at Georgia, I assumed that she'd be rooting for Georgia, but she was like dead set on Alabama. So I will tell you, my allegiance is with Alabama. I have way too many college friends that are obnoxious about Georgia. So it makes me want to see them upset just a little bit. So it's hard for me to see them happy, which sounds bad. But
well, we need to get you and Sean Frazier in a room with a big screen and just watch Alabama football.
Yep. So. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Are there any additional comments or questions?
I'm just going to give Georgia a little shout out and say that Athens gave us REM.
Yeah, they did. And we also have that speaker series, which is in the Sky Room, so the presentation is going to be from 11 to about 12:30. I know everyone has a lot of things and are busy, but we would appreciate, or, you know, we just want to open up that invitation to everyone. And again, thank you so much for this opportunity.
I also want to say, if any of you want to come to our facility, let us know. I'm at Chicago's facilities Mondays and Wednesdays from 9 to 3 o'clock. So if you all open invitation if you want to come.
Thank you.
Thank you both very much. I think you can see how engaged and appreciative the trustees are of your program. And it's something I would love to hear about as it goes forward over time. So we would love to have you back in a short period of time. So thanks again. Are there any other matters that are requiring the attention of the board today? The next meeting of the Research and Innovation Legal and Legislative Affairs Committee is May 11th, 2023. May I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Any questions? If not, Crystal, will you please call the roll?
Committee Vice Chair Athus?
Yes.
Trustee Dennis Barsima?
You're on mute.
Yeah, my space bar was supposed to unmute that, but it didn't. Yes.
Trustee John Butler.
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales.
Yes.
Trustee Tim Moore. Trustee Bob Pritchard. Board Chair Eric Watsowitz.
Yes.
Committee Chair Veronica Herrero.
The meeting is now adjourned, and this concludes the meeting.
When,